My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is Judd's Hockey Show, the Wednesday extravaganza. AJ Judd and Jesse Pierce, of course, find her other podcast, Bar Down Beauties. Outstanding stuff as always. She covers the Wild for NHL.com. And today she's at the X because she's covering the Frozen Four, which is in town. Now, are you doing this for the league site, Jess, or what's your assignment this time around?
It is. Any major hockey event, you'll find yours truly. Not only for my own enjoyment, I love college hockey, but NHL has me out here. 51 draft picks and or prospects taking part in the Frozen Four this weekend. BU on the ice first here, which, of course, is Macklin Celebrini, the guy anticipated to go first overall. So I'm excited. I know I'm bummed the Gophers aren't in it because obviously that's my squad, but it's going to be some really, really good hockey here in St. Paul this weekend.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Macklin is all of 17 still, so
yes.
It's absolutely stupid. Incredible. All right, before we get to the show, shout out to our friends, our new partner, Nicolay Law. Nicolay Law knows that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life, it can come to a stop, and things can get complicated. During that time, insurance companies likely to pressure you. Well, guess what? Russell Nicolay and his team are coming to your rescue. The insurance companies don't care if you get better. They don't care if your bills are piling up. They don't care that you may not be able to work. But Russ and his team at Nicolay Law, they certainly do. They have seen every play the insurance companies have. They're going to drop their gloves. That's right. They're going to go some fisticuffs to make sure you get the compensation that you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolay. Start your path to winning at NicolayLaw.com or give them a call, 1-855-NICOLAY. That's NicolayLaw.com, N-I-C-O-L-E-T, law.com. All right, so Judd's Hockey Show obviously focuses on the exploits of the Wild, which the last couple of years, bunch of years, have given us things to talk about into the playoffs. Jesse, I'm going to start with you, though. So last night, the Colorado Avalanche bring an official end to the Wild's playoff hopes. Nathan MacKinnon, a hat trick. Dude, you're incredible. God, I love to watch you play hockey. I mean, just if you didn't enjoy those goals, you don't like hockey. And I don't care if you're a Wild fan. Jesse's like, this is outstanding. But I want to ask a very simple question. And Jesse, you cover this team. You're there from the first day of training camp. You've covered them for a long time now. How surprised are you? How surprised should we be by the fact that this season will end without a playoff berth? And quite frankly, you know, had a lot of rocky patches. Floor is yours.
0%, you guys. If you have listened to anything I've been saying since the off season last year, if you've listened to this very show, if you have listened to the Bar Down Beauties podcast, new episodes every Tuesday, I've been saying this forever. Bill Guerin did a nice job at buying time, but eventually that salary cap and that dead cap space was going to come calling, and it did this year and next year. At best, Minnesota was a playoff team. Now, I didn't, or a bubble team, excuse me, a bubble team into the playoff. That was the very best. They were looking at maybe a number two wild card. It just wasn't in the cards. You looked at Dallas, you looked at Colorado, you looked at Winnipeg, who, by the way, Minnesota went 0-10 against this season, just absolutely atrocious. You knew they were just too good. It was going to be too tough a battle, and there's nothing wrong with that. It was bound to happen. Again, you were going to have to pay the piper for those buyouts eventually. It happened. It's okay. You know, use this time wisely, Bill Guerin, to figure out what you have in your youth. Use that time in the offseason to reevaluate some of those contracts that were important. But at the end of the day, this should be of no surprise to anybody. I've seen a lot of unhinged comments, a lot of chaos happening from Wild fans, and I get it. It was a very up and down season, and there were moments where the Minnesota Wild made you believe that maybe they were going to surprise us all, and they've done that. I think they've overexceeded the past couple seasons and bought people into this belief that they were a better team than they were, but the reality is, you finally see them for what they are this year. Yes, injuries played a huge role in the way that the Minnesota Wild season went. But all in all, I am not surprised at all. And I'm sorry, you guys, I'm going to let you in on just a little secret. It's probably going to be the same next year as well. So buckle up, buckle in. Just two kind of tougher years. And then there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But no surprise. I'm telling you now. Write it down. I'm telling you right now, next year, not much different.
Okay. Age?
Yeah, this shouldn't be a surprise to really anybody. Like Jess said, it's like when Dorothy pulled back the curtain of the Wizard of Oz, and instead of this big booming voice of a playoff team that could maybe get past the first round, maybe make it into the second round, you're getting exposed as this kind of like, you don't have the depth, and when you're hurt, you don't have the support to really rise to the occasion. You're just a guy. You're just a guy, and that's what this team is. They're just a guy, and they're going to be a guy sitting outside of the playoffs here as of last night, officially done. And how long I think this has been a 0% chance is maybe back to, like, some of the initial major injuries, maybe even back to, like, Spurgeon earlier in the year, where it's just like you saw they got exposed so early that they just didn't have that type of depth, and they could hide it, and you can kind of patchwork it a little bit, but sooner or later, similar to the past seasons, or like Jesse said, you're eventually, it's going to come knocking. Same thing with the injury bug this year. You saw that depth was the concern, and it was continuation of a concern that just they couldn't get around, they couldn't overcome, and, you know, they're on the outside looking in. So not super surprised that they are missing the playoffs here for the first time in, what, 2 or 3, 4 years?
2018-19 was the last time, which I also covered, so I apologize. In my 8 seasons, I've missed the playoffs quite. That could be the problem. Who knows?
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Get past the first round. I'm more concerned about that. So I get the frustration. This team has, in my opinion, been extremely frustrating at times. There's things about it I don't like, just as far as approach goes. Now, that being said, Jesse, you're right. Bill Guerin basically staved this off. I mean, it's actually more surprising in the regular season what they did the last 2 years than this year. Like, that's more surprising. But I think ultimately, I think this is a blessing in disguise. And I think you're probably right. I think next year very well might be. Now, they could get, you know, they're probably not going to have the same injury bug. Like, could they get in as a wild card next year? Yeah, they could. But, like, your point is well taken. And what I really think that this is the best thing, because this forces you to look at the reality. And I don't know that the reality, in my opinion, is not all bleak. They've got players coming. Like, they've had some good drafts. There's certainly some talent that's here now. There's certainly some talent that's coming. So it's not this, oh my God, the farm system. The Chuck Fletcher thing was, you have no farm system and you suck. Like, what are you going to do? And he got fired eventually. You know, this is a farm system is churning out some guys. Khustadinov just got here. There are guys coming up. There are good draft picks. So I actually think when you get out of cap hell, that there are some bright spots. Now, as was pointed out to me on X today, you know, Faber and hopefully Kaprizov's next contract are going to eat up a lot. But hopefully, again, knock on wood, the cap goes up. You're at least paying guys who are playing for you, right? But I honestly think that in some ways this is the best thing, because if you had even made the playoffs, that's sort of a false sense of, well, we still made the playoffs. But you know what? Like last night in watching the Avs, who a couple of, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, were a dumpster fire, and watching what they got by being bad. I mean, the Avs were the Zolgadian advertisement for sucking. Like, you watch McKinnon and you watch McCarr, and it's like, oh my God, you get that talent and it changes everything. But yeah, I think if you take advantage now of this opportunity, and it's why I didn't care if they like tried to force it. Like, when Bill's like, we don't know if we'll trade at the deadline, but if you could take advantage of the opportunities that you have to build, and if you can find out if a couple guys will waive their no move clauses, I really think that the disappointment of this season could be turned into a real advantage in a couple of years, Jess.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's okay to be realistic. It's okay to say you're not the best team right now. You're not good, you're not bad, you're just kind of stuck right in that middle. That is okay. And we've been begging Billy to admit that for how long now? Again, I think he's lucked out the past couple seasons. You mentioned it, Jed. The regular seasons were bigger surprises to me. The way that they finished up so high and the scoring that you were getting and just the things clicking and working together. You knew that the bottom was going to kind of fall off. You knew it wasn't welded on there strong enough. And here we are today, but there is. I'm super excited for Liam Ogren to see what he can do come training camp. He's in Iowa now. Excited to see what could happen with Danilo Yurov. He still has yet to sign, but he's another big name that I think, similar to Marco Rossi, except probably an immediate impact, where you're excited to see what that could be. I've never been so excited about the future, but I do, because I'm I think Bill Guerin has built out this team, and credit to his scouts and, you know, Judd Brackett in particular for recognizing the talent that it does, because I think for the first time, you're not just building a team to make the playoffs. You're building a team to make a run in the playoffs. And that is something we so desperately need in Minnesota. You got Joel Eriksson, who's having a career year this year, even bigger. And again, you mentioned those injuries coming back. All in all, it is.
Maybe I'll step in here because I think we're losing
the
connection.
Issues at hand.
Oh, wait, she's back. She's not back. Jesse, you're breaking up.
Jesse.
She looks very cynical right now in that screenshot.
Am I back?
There we go.
Now you're back.
God, I can't. This isn't my internet, by the way, guys. This is the XL's internet.
Mike.
So we can blame
Mike
and somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's not good. That's not good at all. So anyway, But I agree with your sentiments and the path of, like, yes, can you build a team? Yeah. Can you build a team to make a playoff run, not make the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And this team was woefully, I mean, they lack size. They lack a lot of things that hopefully some of the prospects can bring, AJ.
Yeah. And that's where I maybe look to Bill Guerin, because to Jesse's point, he's done a great job of the past couple seasons, kind of staving things off and making something out of nothing. But I think the path is pretty clear in this instance. Now, if you miss the playoffs, this should be a smack in the face of, hey, we need to wake up. Next year is not a let's make the playoffs and see what happens. This is a get your chess pieces set up so that once that cap moves on, you can actually use it for, to your point, Judd, the players actually playing for your team. And that's where you have to kind of get things in place. And when you look at the standings right now, that's exactly what like a team like Philadelphia is doing. They have lost 8 in a row to jump up into kind of like they're on the fringe of those top 10 picks. The Wild need to get with the program here for the remainder games. And get,
I agree,
just be bad, because you
could you not lose 8-1 to Montreal, though? I'm surprised we got like kind, compassionate Torts last night after that instead of like raging lunatic Torts. My goodness, that had to hurt.
Torts was lost, I feel bad, but Age, your point goes back to me to the presser that Guerin did before the deadline, where he's basically like, I don't know if we would make those trades, we'll see where we are. It's like, no, just. Don't see where you are. I can tell you that age, that was my frustration with that.
Yeah. And that's what I need Bill Guerin to just admit. Like, I feel like we've been beating around the bush quite a bit this entire season. Be honest, lay your cards out on the table and admit, hey, we're frankly not that good. Our structure, our infrastructure, the foundation of our franchise, it's pretty rocky. We have to we're not rebuilding fully, because you can't really rebuild when you have a guy like Kirill Kaprizov under contract, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But you're, you know, you're getting new windows. You have to reshingle the roof. You're sprucing up your house. And it starts this offseason by not re-signing and extending and using stuff well, and then getting next season into, look, we're moving on. We're getting the dead weight out of the gutters, and we're going to bring in brand new gutters so all that rain is able to flush away the past and usher in a new era of Minnesota Wild hockey.
Mm-hmm. Just round of applause for that.
Well, you're redoing the basement.
Yeah.
Like, Kirill. Kirill's the kitchen. The kitchen's gorgeous. The kitchen's great.
Open concept. The basement. It's fantastic.
The basement.
Most important room in the house. Kitchen.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. Speaking of that, Jesse, are you concerned? Kirill's got what, 3 years left now?
Yeah. 2?
I think
he
might be
with Zuki.
Yes.
It might be 3. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be the one thing that people point to. Cause like if like, and I think that you might be right. I think that next year could be, at least if nothing else, rocky again. What is your concern there? Because that's going to be what fans point to and say, hold on a second, you three stooges, before you guys start talking about, you know, fixing the basement and AJ wants to fix this and do that. You know, Kirill is going to attempt to go to a nice penthouse in Manhattan or something. What's your Kaprizov concern there? Because that's the one thing I think is at least an interesting conversation.
Make sure your plumbing's up to snuff, right? Or something, maybe that, I don't know. I own a house, I don't fix anything, but that sounds important aspect, you know?
But I have a plumber.
But I think it is. It's an important thing to address. It's an important situation that you have to be realistic about. I think Kirill Kaprizov, he's a competitor. There's no question about that. And I don't think he's a guy that is also accustomed to losing. Nobody on this team is accustomed to losing, frankly, if you really look at it. Carrillo said he missed the playoffs one time in the KHL. Other than that, he's always been in the postseason. Matt Zuccarello has missed it just twice in his career. Obviously, we know Marc-Andre Fleury missing it for the first time in his entire career. So it's new territory for all of them. And it is all about keeping Carrillo happy. We have been stressing that for the past couple of years. But I think, hopefully, next year you can see glimpses of that. Who's Nadinov? If he can come out and have a really good training camp and look extra special, I think that's going to be the thing. You're going to have to build with those younger pieces and get Kirill to understand that these pieces are actually meaningful. Did it help to have the extensions that you did with some of the players that you do or have some of the new moves? Probably not. That's why I think this offseason is going to be imperative that Bill Guerin looks at those and addresses those and does whatever he can to maybe shed a couple of those. You know, I just think that's what you're going to have to do because you're going to want to get Kirill excited about the future. If you can't make him happy right now, as we've mentioned, next year could be another kind of rough and tumble year, then you need to get him excited about 2 years down the road, right before that contract talk really starts heating up if you haven't already figured it out. So I think there's a lot of good here. But I think, yeah, Kirill's probably looking at it with a skeptical eye and saying, hey, you know what? I could go play with a Nathan McKinnon. I could go play with Panarin out in New York, right? And he's right to do so. He's a guy that wants to win and be having the team around him. And Minnesota hasn't given him enough of that good just yet to show him it's worth staying. So I think it's going to be hugely important to get those conversations started now and get him excited about the future in order to have even a shot at him staying faithful to the Minnesota Wild.
Go ahead, Age.
Yeah, and that's where you're going to have to get, at some point, I think, some of these younger guys into the lineup, and not just the ones that we've seen here this season with Husnadinov and, you know, Rossi with his coming out party, and Ogren now, he's in Iowa, but you're going to have to look at guys like a Riley Hite, a Hunter Haight, a Michael Milne, Rasmus Kumpalainen. Like, you're going to have to get these guys flashes to Jesse's point of, you got to show him that there is a future here to where he wants to actually take pen and put it to paper to extend, because otherwise you're going to have the talk swirling the kind of the national media for hockey. Like, you know, is Kaprizov a guy that's on the books? Is he going to be a future Vegas Golden Knight? Are they going to send all of their first round picks from the year 2037 to get to get him, like, and somehow stay under the cap still? I want to make sure that they don't lose, like, the first major superstar I feel like they've had in franchise history. And that starts by actually showing him there's a bit of a future. Because I feel like on paper it looks fine, but we need to see the reality. The hypothetical is great, but you actually have to show him in person, similar to how, for him, a lot of people were like, you know, is he even real? He's staying another 2 years over in Russia. He's finally here. He was the real deal. You need to do the same for him by showing him, hey, the future in this prospect pool, it's the real deal.
And I hate to say it because I know we're going to hate to hear it, Minnesota fans. I think the NHL would love for Kirill Kaprizov to play for a team that isn't the Minnesota Wild. I think they would absolutely eat up the idea of him in Toronto or Pittsburgh or Washington, any of their East Coast baby teams, or even Dallas, who they've really found fond of, or Vegas, as you mentioned, Age. So that's the other thing. I mean, teams will come calling, teams will come knocking, and he's going to be flirted with very heavily. So, Bill Guerin, he is your man. You stand up for him. You stick tight. You lock him down. Make a nice proposal and see what can happen. But that starts with the excitement for the future.
So here's the at least initial issue with him, too. And he's got, including this season, 3 years left. So it's 2 years with a no-move clause after this. So that I think, does match up with Zuccarello's contract, which is what I want to get to. What's the conversation with Kirill? It occurs to me that AJ's right. You've got to show Kirill, you've got to bring up guys. And I'm not saying that you rush them all, but I am saying this roster needs to get younger. You've got to stop playing the Goudreaus. You've got to stop playing these fourth line guys because, you know, they give John Hines a little bit of this or that, but then John Hines gets pissed at those lines. So how do you have the conversation with Kirill? Quite frankly, starting with Mats, he is a poster child if he will waive that no trade of a guy that this team should move. Like, he is up at the deadline, you would have gotten something for Mats. Mats could go to a team and play third line in the playoffs, and I think excel. The ship has sailed on him, in my opinion, here, other than he's Kirill's guy. But Jesse, how do you convince Kirill Kaprizov that if we're going to show you that we're going to be as good as possible, it's not by playing Ryan Hartman and Zuccarello. It's by actually bringing new blood, younger blood. By the way, guys that can keep up with you onto the roster. And I know that you're fond of guys, and I know that Matt's has been like your surrogate dad. But when push comes to shove, I don't think that his long-term presence benefits Kirill or this team. So, like, how do you have that very delicate conversation so that in a year and a half, Kirill doesn't walk into the office and say, there's no future here. I'll waive my no move, trade me, because the one thing you can't do is Gabrick 2.0. You cannot have Kirill Kaprizov walk out that door and sign elsewhere, and you get nothing back. That's a devastating loss.
You know, I'm going to push back a little bit on both those points, Judd. I think, first of all, in regard to Kirill and Mats, you saw him have chemistry with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Matt Boldy. So I think they really drew that line a little bit, right? I think he recognized, hey, there's something really good here. Now, of course, you're putting all of your top offensive power on that first line, which, as we saw, did not help in secondary scoring whatsoever because you were getting no help from any of the other lines, but at least you had one really, really good line. So I think that would help soften the blow. I also have not been as down on Matt Zuccarello this year as a lot of people have. I think he's had some really atrocious games, but all in all, his point production this season has still been very, very steady. He was a very constant, especially at the beginning of the year with the injuries and with the struggles of Kaprizov and even Matt Boldy as he was slow to get going. I thought Matt Zuccarello had a really good season. Yes, again, some very bad games and most as of late where you've seen him just completely look terrible or completely get outworked or out hustle. So I don't know that I'm as desired to see him on the go unless you get a huge return, right? Unless he's willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm out of here. That's fine. Then right. Sure, if you're going to get something good in return, that's great. Right. But yeah, I don't know that. I think the security blanket that was Zuccarello for Kaprizov has kind of been detached a little bit. And I think Zuccarello has recognized that too. That's just from my perception anyway. I don't think it would be as hard as it would have been entering into last season, right? Because I think he entered last season with Dean Evason at the helm and they still had, you know what, you guys are tethered together. This is your soulmate, yada, yada. You right. haven't really, I mean, you haven't even really seen the Zucchi Kaprizov brothers. Hey, we're having fun stuff this year. It's been a very kind of different vibe. And I've seen Kirill really who's Nadinov under his wing too. Naturally, they have that Russian connection, but I think Kirill's grown a little bit in that respect. So I think if you move Zucchi, get a good return. Otherwise, I don't hate him coming back. And I think Kirill would understand either way. Because again, right. at the end of the day, Kirill, like us, wants to win.
Right. I just think in the scenario that you painted, I don't think Zuccarello being back helps them. Like, I don't think he's terrible. I just think he's the poster child of with where he is age-wise and where you are franchise-wise. Sure. Because, yeah, he still has – I think if you had plopped him on a playoff team for this spring, I think he could have been great.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I'm looking at guys aging out, and he's aging out. So this is more of a, I don't really need you to retire here, and I think I could get something for you. It's not a you suck.
Yeah.
Because you would get something back.
You're saying anybody with gray hair, get out of the room.
I'm saying I trade me.
Allowed. Yeah, same. Yeah,
I'm saying I trade it. And if you were a player, quite frankly, I'd trade you. I mean, once you get into your 30s, it's over for you in hockey.
It's all downhill. I mean, age can still play. Every day. My life is over as we know it, so it's fine. I've come to terms with it. My soul is slowly being sucked out of my body each and every day.
You've got three kids. You're busy, too.
It's yeah, there's that, too. God, just dunzo. Old car. Put me on the used sale lot. I'm
that's where I am. But age is young. But age, what's your thought? Because, yeah, I'm not trying to say that guys are terrible. I'm just trying to say I think in the evolution that you're hoping to get to for 2025-26, that there's some very logical moves here. Because, like, if you take Goudreau to market and he gets traded, you're going to get a bag of pucks back for him.
Yeah. And I think the goal here is – maybe the conversation would be, hey, I know you love Mats. Mats loves you, and we love Mats, and he loves the state and everything. But would you rather have somebody who's a little bigger and a little stronger, who's able to stick up for you when you're getting cross checks every other shift in the back of your ribs? Like, I feel like the notion of we need to get bigger, we need to get younger, is going to be something that he's going to be able to recognize and very receptive to. And that tether that Jesse mentioned where a calendar year ago, I think this conversation is completely off the table. It's a minefield trying to approach it. Now I think he's a little more open to it because he's not a young guy, doesn't know much English. He knows the landscape now. He's kind of what we've seen through like some of the social videos and stuff they've done behind the scenes, where he's kind of taken the wing that maybe Matt did, and he's now placed over Khusnadinov, of ushering him into getting accustomed to the game, accustomed around the state. And I think Matt's has also kind of let that go, because you're not seeing the buddy buddy stuff, the tummy sticks as they call it. I think both guys have kind of got the writing on the wall here for him, and they're able to understand, hey, we don't have this, you know, inseparable bond anymore. We're on different lines. Matt's, to his credit, I think had a sneaky good year. Like, there was bad games. Yeah. There was defensive breakdowns where he did the kind of the Olay in the neutral zone. But the thing is that I know that's not his game, and that's not his repertoire, as much as I would like him to do that. The assists were there. He had I think he still is on a pretty long goalless drought, which is a pain, but you're seeing he's producing still. Even though he's not putting the puck in the back of that, he's creating opportunities, so I'll give him credit for that. But when it comes to it, I would rather get a guy that's a little younger, to Judd's point, you know, doesn't need Just for Men. We don't need to have the Minnesota Wild 24, 25 season sponsored by Just for Men in the locker room.
Gordie Howe. Yeah, we don't need old guys. And plus, I think if you do this right, I don't think it's like a huge thing. I don't think it's like it's the fine line of what are you trying to do here? You don't need to rebuild, because quite frankly, your organizational depth is good. That's where I'm with Jesse. As frustrating as this team was at times, I don't look at this and think Bill Guerin has to be fired. I don't like the contract extensions, mm-hmm. and I don't like the no trades, but like I've seen stuff like, you know, Boldy sucks, he should be traded. I've been frustrated with him, but you're not going to trade him. No. He's got a bright future. I'd like him to get stronger, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's a huge ask. So, like, I think that there is a lot to be positive about. I just hope that Bill Guerin makes the right moves, because if you, like, come back and are like, I think we can make the playoffs next season, I don't need that. Right. I just don't. So.
No. I'm sick of that narrative. I actually mentioned that to Craig Leopold in his annual State of the Union address to us media. It's like, can we say we want to win a Stanley Cup instead of we want to make the playoffs? Like, can we just go ahead and have high aspirations for ourselves, right? Like, move that bar up a little bit.
I like it. Okay, last thing, Jess. Who wins Frozen Four? And by the way, get BC Ooh. Off the ice. Get him off the ice. I just heard the horn.
BU,
get him off the ice.
really, really good teams. I admittedly haven't followed a lot of these squads as closely as I should, especially the Hockey East teams. But Denver, I did catch at the NCHC. So good. I mean, David Carl is a fantastic coach. He's the winning coach for gold medal for Team USA at World Juniors this year. He's got a really, really good squad. I think BC, though. BC is loaded. Yes, BU has Macklin Celebrini, and Lane Hudson's their other big name on that squad. Other than that, BC is stacked with Will Smith. They've got Ryan Leonard. I mean, just a handful of names that either have already been drafted or are going to be in this coming draft. So I think BC takes it. I think you're going to see a BC-BU final, which could be very fun.
Bean pot,
yes, right? And I could be surprised. I guess Michigan, they beat a very good Michigan State team to get here. So yep. They're somebody to watch. And again, the Pios are good. So as disappointed as we are that there's no Minnesota rep, it's going to be some really good hockey.
Awesome stuff. Thanks much. JHS, we'll be back soon. I'm sure Age and I will do an episode by the weekend, because although the Wild is dead, there is still plenty to talk about as we examine the future. Check out Jesse's work, of course, again, Bar Down Beauties, and also wild.com and NHL.com. She does a great job covering the Wild. AJ, as always, thanks for producing and co-hosting as well. We'll talk to you soon.